This has been something of an oddball December thus far, hasn't it? Some snow, some cold, sometimes warmer, some rain. We've had a bit of everything. At times it seems to me like our weather has been a bit like those ping-pong balls in a hopper, like what they use for bingo. You just never know what the next one's going to bring, and you can't shake the feeling that someone else is going to win. For hunters and trappers, it's probably been a bit brutal at times. Whereas snow machines normally provide transportation to effectively participate in those activities, they're not really an option right now, and haven't been for most of the month. Oh, I know. A few either desperate or masochistic souls. There's no way to really know which. Still take to the current conditions with their snow machines, but they're very much in the minority yet. I guess one of the upsides to our current condition is that if you either plow your own drive or pay someone else to do it, you're either saving money or wear and tear on your equipment or both. Hunting and trapping aside, if you feel like you need to get out of the house but don't feel like torturing your snow machine or cross-country skis in the process, there are still things you can be doing that require you to put on the coat to do them. One of them doesn't even require that you leave your yard. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. People, by nature, seem to be creatures of routine. For example, in our household, the alarms go off, showers get taken, the dogs need to go out, my two daughters need to be prodded, sometimes more forcefully than others, to fix lunches and ready themselves, and the truck needs to be warmed up just a bit, in addition to other things. All of these things happen in a fairly short time and relatively predictable order. Such is the nature of our morning routine. Most of us have some very normal routines in the workplace as well, patterns that guide us from one end of the workday to the other. We also often have our end-of-the-day routines, from the ones that begin when we walk through the door to the last ones that lead us to the bed once more. Let me suggest one routine you can add to your day that won't add any real additional time to your schedule: feeding the local birds. At different times and on different episodes, I've touched on birding and bird feeding. It's not a new topic necessarily, but it's one I like to kick around from time to time, as I think it's a neat thing for folks to be doing. People come and go, and others see their situations change, to where maybe hearing something again makes it a more appealing thing to pursue. In any event, I'd like to encourage you to give some thought to feeding our area's winter bird species. Several things seem to have birds on my mind of late, including the bird calendar contest and the recently concluded Christmas bird count, which I missed, by the way, while out trying to score on a moose. Also, I've been seeing some posts recently on the Dillingham Trading Post Facebook page urging folks to take care of their pets during colder weather. Really good advice, by the way. While area songbirds might not be pets, it's a nice thing to do to put out a feeder and help them through our colder months as well. Feeding the birds can be a great way to combine time outdoors and time with your kids, or someone else's kids, as I mentioned on last week's episode. I'm not going to climb onto my soapbox today about how kids need to become more connected to Mother Nature and less to the PC, Xbox, and TV, though it's an easy thing for me to do and something I'll likely do again in the future. I recognize that many outdoor activities that people participate in can cost a bit of money, which in today's economic climate isn't a good thing. Enter putting up bird feeders. Now, as a hunter and angler, I freely admit that watching and maintaining a bird feeder isn't quite the same rush as calling in a moose or having a silver on the line, but it's still a great way to get in touch with nature, and without needing a second mortgage to do so. That alone makes it worth considering. You can just toss bird seed out onto the ground, and that can work. I've done it a time or two. But there are advantages to putting up a bird feeder. Bird feeders come in all sorts of sizes and varieties and can be purchased commercially or made by hand. It doesn't take a lot of leftover scrap lumber or creativity to build some sort of container to put seeds on or in. Also, what type of food you choose to put out will factor into what type of feeder you decide to go with. So let's spend a moment to talk about the different kinds of bird food you might consider offering. Most of the birds that can be attracted to feeders are insect or seed eaters. Insect-eating species include birds such as chickadees and woodpeckers. Seed-eating birds include various types of sparrows, grosbeaks, redpolls, and nuthatches. Minus the sparrows during the winter months, these will likely be the frequent flyers to your establishment. For them, far and away the most popular feed is sunflower seeds. These are the unsalted black seeds specifically for birds that are high in oil content. For most types of birds, black sunflower seeds are a food choice I highly recommend. Other possibilities include thistle seed, raw crushed peanuts, millet, wild grains, and canary seeds. Commercial wild bird seed mixes can be used, but they often contain filler seeds that aren't always as popular with all species. Many stores and area villages carry bird seeds of different sorts. Purchasing online is also a great option, if you have that capability. It's not a bad idea to experiment with various seeds and find out which types are preferred by the birds in your area. Insect eaters are also attracted to animal fats or suet. This can be obtained from the grocery store or trimmed from beef, pork, moose, caribou, or other wild meat. Peanut butter, another fat, also attracts birds to feeders. As I mentioned, the feeder itself can be as simple or as elaborate as you care to make it. It might be as basic as a piece of plywood nailed to the side of the tree, or it might look like the bird version of the Taj Mahal. The key is placing it where birds feel safe, where you can view it easily, and then keeping it filled with whatever the birds in your neighborhood prefer to dine on. Some birds will visit feeders year-round once they are familiar with the location of a dependable food supply. Birds are most easily attracted in winter, however, because natural food supplies are a lot harder to find. In the summer, some of your winter regulars will disperse because there's more available. Keep in mind that once you begin feeding birds, you're making a commitment. A feeder often attracts more birds to an area than natural food sources can support. If you decide to stop feeding them, the birds might not be able to find enough food to survive. This isn't an issue during the warmer months, but can be dire to the birds in the winter. It's not quite the same responsibility as a puppy, but there are some things to think about if you decide to go this route. If you plan a vacation, be sure to have someone come by to restock your feeder regularly while you're away. Bird feeding is a great way of attracting birds to your backyard, where their beauty and activities can be enjoyed up close and personal, without needing a bunch of gas money or a boat to get there. Other than picking up some feed from time to time, which doesn't cost a great deal, there is no cost involved. Always a great selling point. Given my choice, I'd still rather be out chasing moose or caribou, but feeding our local birds is still a very worthwhile thing to do. In closing today, I wanted to mention a couple of other things. First of all, the new bird calendars were late in getting to the field stations. Normally, we try to get them out to the schools before Christmas break. This year, due to the government shutdown in the fall, they did not arrive at our office until after the Christmas break had already started. Those calendars should be available in the coming weeks, with our apologies for the delay. Also, Togiak Refuge's Facebook page recently passed the 1,000 like mark, thanks in part to many of you. I'd like to thank everyone who took the time to look at our page and like it, and encourage folks to visit us regularly, as it's updated daily. Happy New Year, everybody. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.